Blog Talk Radio.
You are here. You have arrived. Now it's time for Divas by Design. Welcome to Divas by Design. Diva is an acronym for Destiny, Innovative, Victorious, Anointed, Set Apart. Divas by Design, where we come to laugh, grow, and do the work. Divas by Design, where we put faith into action. Divas by Design, where your truth shines. Now it's time for our host, Reverend Dawn Martin, the original diva herself. Welcome to the show.
Good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon to everybody. How are you guys doing? This is your girl, Just Dazzling, and you are joining me for another new episode of Diva by Design Radio. I'm so excited for the day. This is just, you know, the day the Lord has made. We're going to rejoice in it regardless, right? I'm so excited about our conversation piece today. You guys are just going to be excited anyway. You're going to just be able to see the movement of God on our guest today and how God has come in and just do what he do as he does with all of us. And I tell you, you know, sometimes you when God starts you out on a particular journey, you're not quite sure. You have all these questions, right? I have all these questions, though. God, right? And then he doesn't give you the answers to them right away. You know, you're sitting there for the longest trying to figure out, like, really, Lord, I mean, you're just not going to tell me what we're doing and, you know, how this affects my life. You know, how the kids, you're like, I'm over my life. You can't tell me what to do over my own life. You know, that's what we do to kids, right? To our parents. And so it's sometimes feeling that same thing. My question, you know, questions a lot of times, which I'm sure all of you can attest to, is, okay, where are we going with this? I'm really, really excited in more ways than one here shortly, Ms. Robinson, and for a lot of reasons, not just because she's a good-hearted person and a great individual, but because through her part of the journey with me, so many different answers to questions that I had going into the Father, going into the project that I was doing. So I had to really get to a place where I just trust God and just hold on, quit asking a whole bunch of questions and just let God do what he's going to do and be blessed enough on the back end when you can come back and see it, right? So when you are able, anytime you're able to see the fruits of your labor and God gives you that opportunity, you know you on point. And so, you know, that's just an amen day all day. And I know you guys can relate to what I'm saying. It's like every time you're in a situation or you have a project or something's going on with you, you don't always get instant gratification. You don't see it instantly on what's going on. So that sometimes can be frustrating. If you like me, like, come on now, Jesus, give me just a hint of what's happening right here in my life. But sometimes he just puts you on hold and you just say you're just going to have to wait this one out. And at the end of the day, always comes back with, be still and know that I am God, right? He always gives that on the back end. Then you're sitting with your cheeks in your ears, is what I say all the time, with this smile from grin on your face from ear to ear, because you just don't know really what the plan is, the purpose is for the things that he's having you doing, especially during your ministry and when you're a babe in ministry, even, you know. So when it all starts coming together and you start seeing the bigger picture, that is really when you're in this huge amen moment. So I've been blessed by God to be able to have one of those moments here recently. And I'm so excited to share this part of the journey with our listeners. You guys have been so faithful. Even when we were not on the air live, you were still listening to archive shows. So that lets me know that our platform that God has set for us to do is still very much relevant in 2021. So we're so happy to be back. And I'm happy this young lady is going to be coming on and talk with us here shortly. I know I have to give us a verse to stand on. And because of the moment, it just kept reminding me of Paul and his journey with the prison system, and God still kept him regardless of what was going on. And so Acts 16, 35 says, and when it was day, the magistrates sent the officers saying, let those men go. And it's just that plain and simple. Acts 16, verse 5. And when it was day, the magistrates sent the officers saying, let those men go. With that being said, we're going to bring on the line our co-host for the day and our special guest for the day, Miss Michelle Robinson. Hey,
hello,
darling.
Everyone. Hello, hello, hello.
How are you?
I am fine. How's everyone?
I think we are so excited, period, point in the blank, that you are here. I've just been like a little kitty in school, like, ready to get this going. I'm like, is it time yet? Is it time yet? Is it time yet? Because not only just talking with you, but I just know that your testimony is going to bless somebody. And so that is, you know, it's bigger than the reason why. The testimony as a whole is bless somebody. So I'm so elated for this conversation. And so just a little bit of background. Some of our avid listeners know that some time ago, I wrote a book called Fill My Cup, which actually was spoken out of this broadcast platform. And not understanding at the time that the book itself, the ministry and the purpose of what it was really going to do, I just had no clue at the time. I just thought I was writing it on my own self-healing after the loss of my mom. And I found myself in a place where most people don't want to go for any number of reasons, you know, and that was the biggest blessing of my life. It was the biggest blessing of my life. It was literally like a time where, you know, it's like we're always looking for a job, right? And we're always looking for that payout on the job and the benefits of the job. But for 4 years of my life, this was a new day, but excited to get up and go type of situation. So we don't have very many of those in our life, you know. But that's when you know that you're operating in purpose. Even if you don't know why or what the purpose, bigger picture of the purpose is, you just know I had to go. And even after being there, I knew I had to keep coming back because of what I found there. And so we'll get into my own selfish reasons here in a minute, but I just want to take a minute and to our listeners, introduce them to who you were before.
Okay.
Who were you before where we?
Who was I before? Before.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Can you hear me? Okay. Who I
sure.
was.
Sure. Go ahead.
Who I was before I became Michelle Robinson 70700 was a I grew up in a pretty good neighborhood, privilege because of my schooling and where I lived at. And I was a child looking for, I guess you could say, love from those who were closest to me, my family members. See, in my family, when the way I grew up was, love showed was giving you money and sending you on your way. It wasn't affection and holding and talking and getting to know people. I'm a social person to a degree because I like to get to know people. I like to talk to people. And I didn't have that growing up. I have two sisters and a brother on my mom's side, and on my dad's side, I have two sisters and a brother. And on both sides, I'm the baby. So I was sheltered to a degree also. So
okay.
In the midst of all that, me growing up, I became a, you know, in the family, it's always one bad apple, people would say. And they would say I was the bad apple because even though I grew up having, I always wanted more, or seeing other people do other things made me want to do other things too. So I got myself on the wrong foot, and me getting on that wrong foot led to a life of just downfalls where I thought I was on top of the world. Really, I wasn't. And I grew up in church. every Sunday, my grandmother, me and her, would walk around a corner to church. Marbly Methodist. I'll never forget it. I sit there and I would be so bored, and she'd have to tap me on my leg and pay attention. And the only part of church that I really, really liked and didn't understand to now as I grew older was that was you breaking bread with God and getting wine. I didn't understand what that was. I was like, oh, we about to drink some wine and I'm about to get a cracker.
Yes. Tell us, we're saying the Bible. I understand that well.
So, you know, when I started doing things that I had no business doing, my family had no understanding. They was like, who is this girl? What is this? And I started being falling in love with the wrong men that led me to selling drugs, using drugs, using people, using my family. It had me doing things that was not me. So therefore, that life took me to prison. Because on one fateful night of 2007, some guys came into my house to try to rob me. And in the midst of trying to rob me, I wasn't home, but my friend was there. And he was unable to tell them where anything was. And they actually killed him. And because it happened in my home, I got charged with what they got charged with, which was murder, aggravated robbery, and gun theft, I did none of it.
Wow.
And because it happened in my home and because of me selling drugs and the police knew who I was and they knew what I was about, oh, yeah, this she has something to do with this. Yes, yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And no one in my family had ever been in trouble.
Mm.
I mean, and that was serious trouble.
Yeah.
So we didn't know what to do. So here I am facing murder, aggravated robbery, and gun theft. And all these people can tell me was, you need to take this deal. You need to take this deal. But me and my family, not knowing my brother, when it all went down that fateful night, August the 4th, 2007,
I know. It just take your time.
Did I have some problems? Was I involved? Yes. I totally was involved because, yes, that was my home. It was, to my understanding, it was my fault because if Matt had it not been my home and he not came there, he wouldn't have been dead. But we all in that type of lifestyle know the consequences of it. So My part in that was it was my home and he should have been safe there. And I lost my friend that night. I did. Did I know how to take it, understand it, and process it? Absolutely not. Because even though he got killed, I found the body. And when I found the body, did I stay? No, I left because I was scared. So for me leaving his body, they say, you was involved.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how they put me into this, is because that I left the body. I didn't stay. No, I was not going to stay. I'm sorry. I didn't know if they were still in the house. And
and really, like you said, you know, just to help you out here, too, you know, I can't say that anybody, any of us, would have sat. You don't, because when you come into a traumatic situation anyway, you don't know how you're going to react until you're unfortunately in those situations, you know. And again, like you said, a lot of the conviction was based on, you know, the fact that they knew you were doing wrong, because, you know, and added to your as well, because, man, like you just said, I come from this good home. I'm not the stereotypical, that's a good way to put it. I'm the stereotypical person that gets involved to becoming a drug dealer. Not now, you know, you hear about the rich and the famous, everybody get on drugs, but you don't hear about a lot of them becoming, you know, becoming the actual drug dealer. So because of that piece of what you were doing, the system just automatically connected to that. Oh yeah, either she set him up, or I'm sure that was all going on during the part of that time.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And it's so bad that the two guys who actually did it, I knew them. And let me say this: on that night, God works in ways that people don't understand, people don't believe in, people don't do. But let me tell you, that night, God removed me from that situation, out of that house, because had I been in that house, I would have been dead. But see, it wasn't my time to die.
Come on.
My time to
That's
die.
That's a whole something. Write that down, what you just said. You know, she'll probably start laughing, you guys, because she knows that's what I tell her. Write it down. Because, you know, I just think when we throw out these little nuts, there's a reason why we said what we said. You know, our words take root and they grow. They manifest. Mm-hmm. And I just, you know, that's all I can say. It's just that right there, a lot, what you just said.
Yes.
It wasn't my time to die. That's a title of a book right there. It wasn't my time to die.
It wasn't.
Take me, you know, we've had this conversation, so everybody out there, don't y'all lose your mind now and get the text and call me and fussing at me. Michelle and I have talked about what we would talk about today. So she's very aware that she's open right now to some of the questions and things we might have. So take me, and this is where I kind of pick up the story. Take me to that first night when the cell doors closed. So she was arrested and convicted. And that first
You talking about the night that I got sentenced to 18 to life?
Yeah, because I'm sure before that, when you got originally, you weren't thinking of that.
Right.
And now, if you move into, okay, this is for real, y'all not playing.
Right.
After the sentencing, and now I'm going to prison.
Mm-hmm.
What was that like this night?
That night was a night where I got no sleep. I couldn't even, I cried, but wasn't no tears coming out because I was so numb. So all I kept saying, and everybody kept, like, after I got sentenced, the CO or whatever you call him, the sheriff guy, got me on the elevator, and he was like, we just got one who just got sentenced 18 to life. We need to watch her. She needs to be watched. And I'm looking at him, and he's talking about me. And I'm like, who are you talking about? He's talking about me.
So they probably are putting him on suicide watch that first night because of what has happened? Is that what he's trying to say or what?
Yes. So when I got upstairs, the other officers, like the ones I had been in the Justice Center down here in Cincinnati, is the Justice Center, for over a year fighting this case. So, of course, we got to know each other, you know, and they knew what was going on. So when I come upstairs, they like, Michelle, are you all right? And I'm looking at them like, yeah. They're like, Michelle. And I'm like, yeah. They're like, you all right? I'm like, yeah. And I went in my room and shut the door. And I shut the door, and they popped my door back open. They're like, no, you need to leave your door open. And I'm like, why? They're like, you just need to leave your door open. They were watching me because I had no reaction. Even when the judge said it, I just sat there and looked at him. I had no reaction. I couldn't cry. I couldn't scream. I couldn't holler. I was just mute and numb. And then once we finally took that ride up there, my first night there, I just sat on the bed and just looked at everybody like, what in the... Okay.
Right.
And I just had to...
But you went and did all your time at DCI, correct?
No, I did 2 years, my first 2 years in Marysville. And that was
You up there with the big dog.
Yeah, like I said, my first night there, I just sat on the bed and looked around like, and people probably thought it was crazy because I just bust out laughing. I had to laugh. So I'm like, I'm sitting in prison. I'm in prison. What's I'm not even doing? And that's all I keep saying is something. I know I was wrong. I know that I should get something, but I ain't supposed to get no 18 in life. I didn't kill nobody. All I could keep saying was, I didn't kill him. I didn't do that. I didn't have no guns. I didn't force somebody to get robbed. I didn't, come on now. And I'm sitting here for the rest of my life. I kept saying, I ain't about to do all this time. And nobody knew that I was in there with life for a long time. Because when you in the prison and you come up there and you got life, they have this little group up there called lifers. And it's a whole group of women with nothing but life.
Come on.
He's never getting out, as to man say. So they have this little group, and people, like two people knew because they seen me come in intake. When you come in intake, they got to tell you everything, and they got these two little inmates, and they go back and tell everything. So they knew, but a lot of people did not know. And when they finally found out that I did have life, they was like, oh, my God, why you ain't said nothing? Why you ain't got in this group? You need help. And I'm like, I don't need y'all help. I ain't staying here. I'm going home.
That's right.
I mean,
and of course we laugh now, you guys, but yes, I totally get yeah. Yeah.
Right.
And to know her and to know you. Know you, Michelle, is why I can shake my head. You know, to know you, I can shake my head. And I can just see, because I can see a little feisty stuff. My God, that's who we're talking to. I know. But I just love it. When this happened, not only did it happen, you know, we talked about your upbringing with your grandmother and the rest of your family, but at this point, Michelle has children.
Yeah.
Babies involved. Yes. So it's not her when this happens. So that's big. Now that spins a whole nother twist when you're talking 18 life.
Yes.
And I'm walking away from these babies. How old were your babies at the time you got locked up?
I had a 4-year-old, and people don't say, oh my goodness. I had a 4-year-old, a 15-year-old, and an 18-year-old. So my 18 and my 15-year-old knew what was going on. And my 18-year-old is my daughter. She took it hard, but she didn't let it show.
Okay.
My 15-year-old son, he took it hard and he let it show. He let it show.
Yeah.
My 4-year-old, he had no clue what was going on. All he know is Mommy's not here, and now when I see her, I got to see her through this glass, and she's picking up this phone, And he think it's right. he think it's a game, but
right.
it's not a game.
Yeah.
And then I got to go way somewhere to see her, and she comes out. We play, and then we leave her. He
right.
had no understanding. So I
right.
had to try to be a parent to him through the phone and through visits.
Come on now.
And I had to be a parent to my 15-year-old and my 18-year-old through visits. That was
mm-hmm.
very hard.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was very hard.
Because it's hard to raise your kids and they're in the same house.
Woo.
That's the truth. So, yeah.
Woo.
Now, oh, wow. And just thinking about, you know, trying to keep them straight. And
yes.
and talking teenagers, and we know, you know, those of us have raised children, and especially raised teenagers, again, in the same house with them, that's a task. So now I'm trying to call the shot and be the law from where I'm at. So I can just imagine
mm-hmm.
some of those conversations and just about everything that was happening. So
yes,
just
like
imagine.
It was really hard with my 15-year-old and my 4-year-old because they didn't have no understanding. Then my 4-year-old, he started throwing tantrums when it was time to leave. And my 15-year-old, he started messing up in school. And I had to try to – and I can say this. He fought me, and he didn't want to listen, but he finally – got his mind to it because I can't tell. I'm not going to do all this time. I'm coming home, but I need you to buckle down, go to school, and graduate. This is what I need you to do. And we
right.
was battling for a minute, but he finally did it. You know what
Amen.
I mean? So that was hard because we
I
had to have countless visits face-to-face because talking
mm-hmm.
on the phone, he like, whatever. But then when
right.
he get in my face, he got to listen. So that was, I mean,
mm-hmm.
and you can't really touch in there too much because if you touch too much in there, then they think you're trying to pass drugs. So if somebody start crying, you can console them, but you really can't. So somebody have a breakdown moment in there, and I'm trying to console my child. Oh, you got to let your child go. See, this is where I'm going to get in trouble with, because you ain't going to tell me I got to let my child go and my child crying because we have a serious conversation.
Right, right. So just the rules
mm-hmm.
of being there. So take me to... bring me up to DCI, for those who are not aware, is Dayton Correctional here in Dayton, Ohio. And now you are told about this group.
This group called Fill My Cup. What
yeah,
is Fill My Cup? And who is doing this group? And what did this lady know? And why this lady... And they were like, just take the group, you might like it. All right, but I, you know what? If I don't like it, I'm leaving.
Right.
And here comes
Michelle
Ms.
Was
Dawn.
Well,
here comes
Buzzuletto. Here she comes.
With her fabulous self. And we like, okay, all right now. And then when she gets to talking, we like, oh, yeah, we can relate to you because you was talking our language. You wasn't talking at us. You was talking to us. And they're so used to people talking at them in there. But you
mm-hmm.
came in and you talked to us like we were women, human,
mm-hmm.
and just the same.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So, therefore, we was like, okay, we're going to listen to you. What's up? Let's go. And what happened? Enjoyed ourselves.
I tell you, I have told so many along that part of my journey that it's like, you going back? Yeah, I got to go. Like, you know, like you, I got to go punch the clock. I got to go, you know. And for, you know, our hour and a half that we had together, just to give our listeners some understanding to this, those that know me are probably cracking up because they know me. Right? And so the first day, me and Michelle were just talking about this the other day, the first day of Fill My Cup, because, you know, body like you, I mean, the way you already told us, you wasn't brought up in a situation where prison was prone, right? That was not going to be the case. So the last thing I would ever think is that I have to go to one. Let's do that.
Mm-hmm.
Sure that I would be teaching in one. And while I had my run-in with prison as far as I had a brother that was incarcerated, you all know that. And so that was the closest I was going to get to prison. Now, I'm going to come put some money on your books. I'm going to see you on a Sunday. And that's about all I holler at you about, right? But that's about it. So when it came to having to do this class, I was like, whoa, Jesus. Now, y'all heard me at the top of the show. I said, you know, you ask questions to God, like, really? This is what you already had me to do? And I got to go talk to who will come again? God, what you say? You know, where you said, where you want me to go and who? And so the first day, you know, because, you know, thinking is those, you know, so I keep wanting to call it the ozone, but it prison show. Oh, I think of the name of it now. I think of it. And all these shows, all these movies. And I'm coming in like, okay, now I ain't far because I can tell you what.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you what. Don't try me, won't be none. That's how.
That's why I said
you're coming with your game face. Hey, you come with that West Side whole kind of conversation. Like, let me make myself clear today.
Right.
And you go cat real quick. The room they put it in wasn't bigger than my closet. One, no windows. I was like, oh, Jesus. Y'all need the disciples to go, Jesus up this here, but something ain't right. Something break out. I can't get out. What's going on?
Mm-hmm.
And they give you the little button, you know, and the whole little, you know, little, you know, anything happen, push the button. I'm like, okay, but what? I'm up here. The way the classroom is set up, I would have to literally walk across the table with everybody's head to get one door to I'd be jacked up before y'all get in here with talking about push the button. What are you talking about, push the button? But I tell you, here come my girl. Here she come. And she looking. I'm looking at all their faces. And all I could just like, let us pray. Father God, I need you to calm the waters in this joint right now, Jesus. You know? But all I kept hearing is you got something for them. Just be okay. Just breathe. You okay.
Mm-hmm.
And this calm came into the pit of my stomach. I don't care what my flesh was saying. My flesh was probably losing weight, sweating. But my calm came. It was just like, just, you okay. You're okay. And I tell you, ladies and gentlemen out there, that was the best 4 years of my life. The best 4 years of my life. To the point, I mean, this is how you know when it's purposed and it's divine. Talk about this here recently too, Michelle. 4 years, we didn't have not one altercation with nobody, not just with me, but, you know, that was always when you talk to your colleagues and everybody that worked there, you know, what?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you ain't had the calls. We had them, get them. They always in the hole and all. You get all this crazy conversation.
Like,
now they looking at me like, really, we need to come in on your class because we need to know what's going on because nothing's going on in your class.
Exactly. And the,
what
and
do you
the
mean?
Thing was, if, the thing was, it reversed. It was like, if you mess with Ms. Dawn, you got to mess with all us.
Yeah, it was. And I mean, in the most respectful, it was deep. It was very, when I tell you what I got, and this is why, you know, when looking at the title for this show today, Behind the Walls, God Found Me. And that's not just you.
Mm-mm.
That's not just other ladies there. God found me. He not only gave me a voice for the first time, a true voice for the first time, but he found me as I was trying to find my purpose in him and through this process. And so Yeah. I mean, to the point where I started more feisty. I was like, y'all better not be talking to my girls crazy. What, you know? They're like, if you don't go on and look, put your button back up on that key ring and out of here for the night. So, I mean, it was mutual. It was mutual. But that's why I wanted to do the show. Because while, yes, you know, there's a lot of the people that are there that shouldn't be there. You know,
that's
things,
that
misdemeanor things, is just really, like, that's what you'd be like, come on, really, for real. But then there's some
that's
up
true.
There that's really done did some situations and you're like, oh, I understand how you, where you at. You know?
Mm-hmm.
But even in those conversations, those situations, my biggest issue I think I had was the inhumane sometimes that can go on between the staff and the inmates that are incarcerated. And that's just not as DC. That's even been at, you getting
absolutely
about that. Because this is still
absolutely
a human being. Regardless.
Mm-hmm.
And if you, and they fussing me all the time, you know, well, you ain't here but once, twice a week, Miss Nine, you ain't here. You don't know. Okay, maybe you're right. Okay, I get you. Housing, it has to have some truth to what I'm saying, because here we have this group of women, and let me be clear, not talking for many people. We're talking 4 years, almost 200 inmates served at just that one location to fill my cup. I mean, to the point where I was there every day teaching a class. So, you know, there has to be some validity to when it's God's work that you're doing. Take me through, and I got some a caller on the line, probably want to get in on our conversation and talk to you.
Okay.
Tell me, what was your thoughts about the process of film? Like, I know when you started, you was pushing back, like,
Yes, because
I ain't got cups. I ain't got no cup.
I ain't got no cup. And if I did have a cup, it was already full. Fill my cup made me get with Michelle.
Mm.
It made me dig deep and get with myself on things that I didn't want to think about. I didn't want to talk about. I didn't want to get over. I wanted to hold on to.
Yeah.
But I couldn't do that, because as long as I kept that attitude and felt that way, I was going to continue to sit in that prison.
Come on.
And I was already in the prison in my mind, because every day I thought about the things that happened that led me up to going to prison and what I should have did and what I shouldn't have did, but I couldn't change none of that. All I can do now is change today. And today I need to start getting with Michelle, because who are you? I didn't know who I was.
Come on.
And I found out who Michelle was and feel my, I'm telling you, that journaling that she has us do in that class. And let me tell you something. You can't think you just going to write something down on the paper and Ms. Don going to say, okay, if it ain't deep and you ain't touched nothing, she ain't going for it. Trust me.
Be like, what is that? What is that? Yeah, I went to the store and bought some black and mouths, and that's it. No, what else did you do with the black and mouths? That can't be
right.
All. What else?
Right. So she had me get with who I was. I had to learn how to first get a cup, turn it over, and start filling it, because I had none of that. Nothing. All them years I have been there, and I have been there 7 7 years before you came along.
Yeah.
And those 7 years that I was in there, I was angry, bitter, depressed. I was sad. I was withdrawn. Everybody used to tell me I was bullied because I was so mean. I didn't want to talk to nobody.
Yeah.
If you wasn't in my circle, don't. Why are you looking at me? Don't talk to me. So here comes Ms. Dunn. here comes Jesus for both of them.
But like, we don't want to talk. Wait a minute. It takes
he's
one
like,
of the other ladies used to say, where are you
said,
going
you
with
this cake? Jesus said, you sit in church on Sundays and you talk to me and you pray. And I'm telling you what to do, and you just want to keep on running. Okay, I got something for you. Run from this.
One of the ladies I was saying used to say all the time, Miss Don, where are you going with, and everybody who know me, I like my little wraps and my throws, my little ponchos, and going with this cake, Miss Don? Where are you going with this cake? I'm like, look here. Don't come for me. Just don't come for me with my cake. Don't come for me with my cake. I'm going to tell you, it was, again, the most rewarding 4 years of my life. I mean, literally. And that's when I said God found me, that was befitting for me as well as it was you. You know?
Exactly.
That's
It
grew me up,
mm-hmm.
spiritually grew me up, because it stretched me and challenged me. You know, I couldn't, you know, it's like my eyes on the outside. I used to say this to you guys all the time with the girls I mentor. I can't ask of them that I'm not willing to do myself. So that was the same thought process with going through it with you guys. Okay, I can't ask them to trust me. When most of them
mm-hmm.
have trust issues, 99% got a trust issue here. So who am I to ask that of them and have an expectation that you're going to do it or not? You know, and even with the most challenging of ladies that came in there, we had some folks in there that was really not feeling a lot of nothing. But
right,
as long as you're willing to try, that's what we ask. Just try. Bring our caller on and see. I get them engaged in our conversation today. Hello and welcome to Divas by Design Radio. How are you? Caller, are you there? You know, people put us on hold and they forget that we on live.
Oh.
Caller, are you there? Well, we going to...
Is it a new caller?
No, 829.
Oh, yes, that's me. I was like, is it a new caller? Lisa, I'm just listening.
Is it
a new caller? Poor thing. Because I heard it said
how are you?
Unmute or something.
Yes.
I don't know. Right. How are you all?
Hello.
Good.
So did you have any questions? For our guest today, or any thoughts?
I guess if I can sum it up in one word, I would just say strength. And no, let me not sum it up in one word. Strength, courage, Jesus. I mean, your testimony about the message you done, and see if you recorded this. So I'm like, this has to be heard. Your
Amen.
Testimony is beyond powerful. And I've been talking, so look, I had it on mute, but I've been all in, engaged in what you were saying. And I'll just say I commend you for your strength. I congratulate you for where you are now, how you've grown,
thank you.
How you've taken your experience and done something with it. I mean, you can go somewhere with this.
Thank you.
Because although I haven't experienced what you've experienced, I can understand it. And I can gain knowledge, courage, and strength from it.
Mm.
If that makes sense. So I may not have taken the same walk, but what you are sharing, and I'm about to cry,
don't cry,
has given me courage.
Thank
Come
you.
Come on now.
Oh, honey. Yes.
And so I appreciate that. And Don, you know, your work. This is beautiful. This is beautiful.
Mm.
I mean, I'm on here and I'm like, I'm hearing you and I'm saying, I'm hearing you talk about your background, your upbringing. Then we get into your kids, and we get into, you know, when you were like in that courtroom, you were numb and mute. You couldn't even feel.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's a powerful mm-hmm. testimony.
Thank you. Thank you.
That's
so
a powerful
very much.
Testimony. And God bless you.
Thank
God bless
you
in your new
you.
Journey.
Mm-mm.
Thank you.
I promise y'all I didn't pay her.
Oh, no, baby. That's real and raw. That's real and
that's
raw.
That's real and raw. That's real and raw.
That's real
yes,
and raw.
Ma'am. Yes, I thank you for those
and
words.
You've been very transparent.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
One thing about me is I have learned that I have to tell my story, because if I could save somebody's life by telling my story, I'm gaining something. And this, see,
Amen.
That's my purpose
Amen.
Now. That's what I'm trying
yes.
to get to. My purpose, why God saved my life that night and didn't take it, is because he wants me to speak and tell my story to those who might
yeah.
need it one day, those who were just on the radio riding to work and said, let me turn this on, and they needed it. I'm here to help.
Yeah.
I'm here to serve now, because, see, the way I was serving before wasn't the Lord's work. The way I'm serving now is the Lord's work.
Yeah.
I mean, and have truly, when I say top of the class, out of fill my cup, became a
hey,
mentor.
I was trying to go in every class. She had different classes, and I was trying to get in all of them. She said, now, honey, you can't come to every class. You already got your cup.
I love her.
But even you saying it was another group called the Lifers.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you didn't feel like you belonged in that group. Even that.
No,
because
I wasn't a lifer.
Isn't that powerful?
No.
That's
but
just to even proclaim and speak
that
though.
Decision was.
Yes.
You didn't claim it. That decision
mm-hmm.
within itself was powerful. Because
yeah.
you knew they said 18 to life. And so what they told you, you could have just went ahead with it. And your mind could have gone and said, you know what, I'm here for life. Might as well join this group. And we talk about what we're going to do for life in here, in this
yeah.
place.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's good.
Mm-hmm. Off the bat, you said, that's not where I need to be. I'm not about to be here for life. I'm not even going to claim. I'm not joining that group. I'm not one of them.
Come on.
I'm not
right.
one of
Come
them.
On.
I don't fit there.
That's right.
Mm. That's not my place.
Listen to that.
Mm-hmm. That's where the strength was.
Yes.
That's where the strength was.
Amazing when I think
that.
About it.
I'm
too.
Not claiming that. I'm beyond that. I'm above that. That
Go on, preacher. Go on.
Even.
Yes. 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 Yes.
I'm here. I'm
that's
here.
All.
I'm
that's
here.
All you
that's
have
like,
to.
Hey, preach it.
That's why.
I'm
that's
here.
That's why
it.
Yeah, because this is exactly why I needed her, Michelle, to do this. Because it's one thing to kind of have a feeling about what you're doing and moving and turning this way and that way on your journey. It's one thing to be walking it, but it's something else when you can have somebody on the outside give it back to you, like really what they see. It's a whole,
yeah.
it's a whole big difference. It's a whole, I mean,
yeah.
even with me walking through that situation, you know, I would come home and tell people of my experience, but it's hard for them to see something they're not a part of. You know,
and that's
it's just
real,
another story.
Because I remember you going. I
yeah.
remember you mm-hmm. going. So to mm-hmm. to see the fruit of your labor, you know what I mean?
It's amazing. That's why
that's,
I said at the top
how.
Of the story, this is God finding me and making a and answering questions that I had. Okay, day one, I might have been like, how I'm going to get this room if something pop off, when I got this little button, you know, four years four
that little button.
Later. Hey, this button, this every time, listen here, every time I walk in there and get my button, I would just be like, I need a gun. I need something else.
Okay, what is this
What's
button
going
happen?
To Ms. Dunn, tell them what the button is called.
Yes.
The button is called the man down button.
Yes.
So if you was down,
the button is no good, null and void. The button is just sitting
the
on
the button was supposed to save
down.
You.
The button is on
wow.
the, under the table. Man is down. So, yeah, so I hear what you're talking
about. And then if you moving around, engaging, and talking, that button ain't going to do nothing for you.
Well, here's why I need you to see this picture. I wish we could just really show the paint the picture of this room. It's a, just one door, no windows. It's kind of long, but it's not your standard classroom. It's like a closet that they turned into a conference room. That's how small it is. And all you got, matter of fact, you got the table right to take up all the room down the middle. Yep. And with the chairs, I would have had to literally just jump on shoulders and, you know, step on heads to get out the door.
Yeah.
That would have been worse yet. I think she under the table.
Wow.
You know, check under the table because she's the only two ways out of here. She's either coming up belly like, or she's coming across the top like a bird. But that's it.
That's
all it is. And even the walk, because the journey from where we met, from where you check in, is a long walk. So even I can remember nights, especially evenings, leaving in tears, coming from there like, Lord, if they, I mean, people don't understand that this is people.
This yeah. Is and, they talk. And let me say this, because now on this journey since I've been out, like I've told Ms. Dunn, my lawyer who got me out, which is a great, absolutely wonderful man named David Singleton for the Ohio Justice Policy Center. He is the most fabulous man in the world. He got me my freedom, and he stayed with me until I got my freedom. Now, he told me from the beginning he didn't know what he can do for me, but he was going to try. And he tried, and he did it. And when he told me... I have to say this. I'll never forget it. He told me on a Wednesday. He went to court that Wednesday, and he called up to the prison and had my case manager had me come in the office. And I'm like, oh, God, he telling me some bad news. He said, Michelle, went to court today. Things was looking good. The prosecutor's on board. Judge is on board. The judge wanted to know why you wasn't there. I said, huh? He said, yeah, the judge wanted to know why you wasn't there. So they're going to come get you Monday. I said, they come to get me Monday? He said, yes. He said, now don't tell nobody, because if you tell somebody, one of them girls might try to take your freedom from you. But I said, okay. And I got off the phone with him. My case manager was sitting there. She said, girl, don't tell nobody. I said, I ain't. That was a lie. I got a sister in there, a sister from another mother from Christ that gave me Nicole Ballinger.
Come on.
And I went flying to her and I said, Nikki, I'm going to court Monday. And we was in the corner just jumping up and down, squealing. Everybody was looking at us like, what the hell wrong with Tina? What she done said? Excuse me, y'all. I'm sorry. But they was like, what she done said to her? So we have a church service twice a day. And during the church service there, they have a time where you get blessed out. And when you get blessed out, they pray you out of the prison.
Mm-hmm.
So people stands up.
But that's,
now, Don has
that's
been
for the
there.
People that know. That's for the people that know that you're leaving. The people that know that you're, that, you know, the people that have already made known to everybody else that they're leaving, they have this blessed out service piece. Go ahead.
The pastor said, those who are leaving this week, please stand up. So I stood up. And when I stood up, everybody's looking at me like, why is she standing up? Where's she going? So I got up there, and she prayed us out. And at the end, they say, well, you would like to say something? I said, yes. I had an 18-to-life sentence. I have done 13 years, and I am going to court tomorrow. And when I go to court, I am getting out. Everybody looked at me and was like, yeah, she might be going to court, but she's coming back. And some was like, for real? Why you ain't say nothing? No, I was like, no. Nah. And when I was leaving for them to take me back to the county, everybody was saying bye, but some was like, yeah, I can hear him in the background saying, yeah, she'll be back. And I had told people from day one, even in the Justice Center, even when I got to Marysville, when I got to DCI, if I ever make it back to the Hamilton County Justice Center in Cincinnati, Ohio, I am not coming back to this prison.
I know that's come on, speak it.
And when I got down there, the judge said what she had to say. She said she don't do things like this, but she sees something in me. And the man standing next to me, which was David Singleton, she said, and I believe in him if he believes in you. So I'm going to give you a chance.
Mm.
And I never forget
Amen.
That. And she gave
us a we do church at Divas by Design now. We do church. That's Jesus all day. We do church around here. Our listeners know we do church around here.
Yes.
Speaking it all the way.
I walked out of there, a free woman. I just walked, looked, and my Lord, he stood right there. He waited. He said, when you walk out these doors, I'm going to be standing here, Michelle. And when I walked out them doors, he was standing right there with me.
See?
Oh,
yes. Man. Yes. And on my journey with him, he has me doing talks for different colleges, telling my story to different colleges. And me telling my story, like I tell it to y'all, like I've told others, is healing for me. It's therapeutic for me because I'm able to get it out. And me getting it out, if I can help, let me help. And my dream, which I'm going to make true, I want to open up a halfway house, several of them here in Cincinnati, because the halfway houses here are no good foundation for women getting out of prison. See, I've been there, so I know what they need when they come out. These people don't know what they need, and they put them in bad situations where it's making it hard for them to flourish into becoming women that they can be. Give them a chance. They need chances. Yeah. It's a lot of women. It's a lot of babies. Now, listen to me, ladies, who all listening. There's a lot of babies inside that prison. Little girls, 18, 19, 20, 21, who has 15, 20, 30, 40, maybe 50 years to life.
Jesus.
These kids in there, these babies, these young women are so traumatized from things that have happened in their childhood, in their life, where they feel like prison is their home. They need help. They need guidance. That's not their home. And a lot of them have came here because of hurting a family member, a husband, a boyfriend, a father. And it's so sad that the baby, they have no home training, no upbringing. At first, I had no clue to some of the simplest things as taking a shower, grooming yourself, making yourself look good, smell good, combing your hair, greasing your scalp, putting grease on your feet so your feet don't be crusty. Some of them don't know none of that. And it's sad.
Come on.
It's so sad where you have to tell this, hey, sweetheart, when you get up in the morning, you need to brush your teeth, wash your face. Well, what I got to do that for? That's what you're supposed to do. It's sad that they don't know this, that they was never taught this. It's sad.
Here's what I want everybody to remember as you hear Michelle's voice in her testimony today. Think of her process. Because, you know, like I said, day one with me meeting her, that's not the voice you hear today. And so that's why I shout and hand claps to God, because you see the change of who she was versus the woman that she is now. And not just because she came out. She was already on her journey to this person, finding who she really was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's
my journals that I got from your class, Ms. Dawn, I kept those. And I would read over the days that I had good days, the days that I had bad days, and try to decipher, why was I having a bad day that day? Why did I write this? And then it came to, well, that's who you were. You don't know who you are.
Come on.
You're going back over my pages of my notes about me and things that I had to go through in life to find me to who I am. Well, Michelle, you are Michelle. Hello, nice to meet you.
Come on.
And once I figured out who I was, and God kept talking to me, and he kept showing me what my purpose was, because in my journey, we have a unit in there called reintegration. And I was in reintegration, started teaching classes and teaching groups. And as I'm teaching these groups, I'm teaching fill my cup in so many ways. It's so crazy to me.
She's here, so we might as well use it. So that's not right. That's what it's for. That's right.
And I'm teaching it.
I can remember asking. I can remember telling her, like, okay, I'm getting ready to start this school's mess, and I don't know what my schedule's going to look like. I need this class. Just because you don't see me don't mean it don't keep going. You keep going. Get out here in the middle. That's right. Just keep it going. And I remember when we did our first conference here. Oh, wow. That was amazing.
Oh, yeah.
200 women. Yeah. That was amazing, you know. And the testimonies of the women. And that is when it solidified me, the greater purpose. So, see, the mind during this time for me, I was in my foot in two places. So I'm working with the babies in the sixth grade that's already got anger issues and mommy daddy issues and household issues and date A&M issues. Yeah. And then I'm working with where they could be for years if we don't get a hold of what is happening in sixth grade. So I'm walking hand in hand with both walk of life of the Shiro, right? And so that was an amazing time. That was an amazing time that God allowed me to experience, you know, and very, very humbling experience for me in both locations. Because it gave me kind of a cross education on how to teach both sectors, because you know I could go into and see one of my babies that's in the sixth grade. I could see that personality or that spirit in somebody. You know, so that, you know, but you know, I always will have a huge thank you to you ladies that was in the Feel My program. Finally back, you know, COVID is doing something else, but hopefully when this moves away, we can get back to business. But, you know, even to the point of when they would have me come in to preach at the church there, everybody be like, there she go, you know, and I was like, I can't do no cartwheel in here, be excited because I'm here and they be looking at me like, what's going on? But it would be just a feeling. With my sisters, when I would come in and preach at church there on campus. So I you guys are just listening in. We've been having a great talk today, and we have a special testimony about what it's like and who she was before the wall went up, and how God found her behind the wall is she finds herself incarcerated. And having to face a mirror. Everybody that's gone through Fill My Cup, I still get calls about that mirror image when we did that mirror image activity that's in the book. Everybody hated. Mm-hmm. They're like, I don't ever want to see that mirror. I don't even want to look at a mirror in my house. Mm-hmm. But that's your point. And I would tell as I tell them, even when we teach it today, if you can get through week six, you're good. If you can get through week six, then you're good. That mirror ain't going to lie to you.
It's a bad.
It's going to always tell you the truth.
Mm-hmm.
But if you allow it, it will also be self-correcting. And that's a wonderful thing. If you can get to the point where you can whoop yourself, that's a wonderful place to be. That's a wonderful place
ma'am.
To be.
Yes,
so tell
ma'am.
Us what's on your horizon. What's coming up? I know you just wrote with Fill My Cup, but what else is going on? What's the next phase? What's happening next?
Well, right now, as I said, I'm doing talks for colleges. They're doing a documentary on my life. I just did a photo shoot. I'm about to start writing my book, writing my story.
And you already got your stuff journaled out, so it's not going to be hard.
No. Right. I'm going to go ahead and put it all down on paper. This COVID just releases, we can just get back. I love doing face-to-face talk. I love just talking face to face so you can see people's like I had to do this one talk and the talk was about incarceration. Well, my lawyer had put this scenario out there, and I was sitting in the audience, so they didn't know. So the scenario was this 37-year-old woman gets charged with murder, aggravated robbery, gun theft, and this 23-year-old man gets the same charge. Does the charge for the man and the woman mean the same? And most of everybody, it was a mixed crowd. And everybody, most of everybody was like, well, he don't know no better because he's young, but she should have known better. So this is what they're saying. And he's asking more questions about, well, what if she was put in a situation where she didn't have no knowledge of what was going on, but because this was her home, should she get the same charges as everybody else? No, she should get more charges because she should have known better. This is what these people kept saying. So finally, he put my picture up there. He's like, well, the scenario of the lady, the 37-year-old lady who got the gun charge, the murder charge, and the robbery charge is right here to talk to you and tell you her story. You should have saw everybody's faces. They was right here. Now they all can't date. They all want to recant their stories on, well, now that we hear the story, we understand it better. No, it's just I'm sitting here, and I'm telling you, and now you want to recant. No, if I would have just sat here, y'all would have kept going no matter what he said to y'all. Y'all still felt like I knew better, which I did know better. You're correct. You're absolutely correct. But should I still have got all those charges? No.
And so we are a judgmental society. That's why, you know, even though we have the Constitution and we have all the laws that says that, you know, we should be able to go up against our peers, you know, in front of a jury and allow them to hear evidence, all the evidence. The problem is you never get it all. And so, you know, and then they're to come back. Always to me is going to be their bias, you know. Can they really be not attached, but they're hearing in any kind of way? And so who are doing the work, because we know there's a lot of lawyers, we know inmates, we've heard the stories of their attorneys just not doing the work, doing the work that it takes to you know, you really be here or no, you know, and it's sad that it takes, you know, we've seen that here recently. We're watching, you know, the previous administration, the pardons, and, you know, how many people last year was let out that was convicted wrongly, you know, not even maybe they were supposed to be there, but shouldn't have been there at all, but because of the judicial system in place. Systematically, and how that looks, and I'm so thankful to Mr. Singleton for doing it that way, at, you know, putting it out there in front of them just to see what the majority or the room of the participants, what their thoughts would be behind that, and just shows you how the biases are particular. I just can imagine.
Yeah, when people hear half the story, even when they hear all of the story, if they don't think that you're listening, they aside anyway. They want to, just like with the two guys. The two guys lied on me and told and said that I set it up. But then one of them who recanted his story and said she had nothing to do with it. See, now y'all want to listen.
And I've given up 13 years. I've given up 13 years of my life.
But that was a lesson well learned, and God set me down for it. He had to sit me down because, see, if he wouldn't have set me down then, eventually he would have had to take my life because I would have kept putting myself in situations that was too risky, and one day I wasn't going to walk away. So
look
he at had
that.
To sit me down. He had to sit me down for them 13 years to save my life. He set
Come
me
on.
Down to save my life.
what's amazing, Michelle, what's really the blessing out of this, what's amazing, is that which is beyond just a blessing, it's amazing, is that you're walking away with that as the testimony. The story is the story. But what you're walking away with that's so amazing is that. You know, when we put our kids in timeout, they don't always get it. Sometimes they ain't paying no, okay, just whoop me. Whoop me first. Gonna whoop me. You know, but sometimes you have to sit in it. Sometimes you have to sit in it so you can get the lesson. You know, and sometimes it's longer for others. It's amazing how out of that first group of lifers, some of them lifers that was in the first class with you, some of y'all are out. I was amazed myself, you know, when you reached out, I'm like, what? You know, and so I'm just, you know, but that goes, but again, that's why I use the word amazing, because then God amazingly gave me sight. I was able to be here to see this. I was able to see his promise. Just hold on, girl. I know you got all these questions about where you at right now, but just hold on. You'll see it later. And what they say, the delay is not the denial. It's not always a no. Sometimes the answer is a yes, but you got to be mature enough to handle the yes.
Yes.
Come on.
And he sat me there long. He said, "Now, little girl, you whorehead, because I've been trying to show you and give you sign after sign. And your little whoreheaded butt wanted to say, okay, I get it, and keep doing you. Well, check this out. Sit down." And that's what he did. Sat me down until he felt like I was ready. And he knows I'm ready because I've been trying to keep on saving lives if I can.
Amen.
I don't want no woman to go through what I went through because, honey, I'm telling you, it's days in there where you feel like this is it. This is all. It's days that I sat outside, and it's a little yard, and you got a little circle that you walk in, and around that circle is barbed wire, and that's what they call your little rec area. It's days I sat there on that bench and looked at that fence and said, this can't be it. No, this ain't it. I got to get on that other side. No, no. I can't just keep sitting here looking at this fence.
What would get me the most?
Outside.
Yeah, what would get me the most when I would walk out in the evening, because, you know, of course, coming as an educator or a visitor, you know, you always see the same things from the inmates, which would, you can go home, you know, type of thing. You don't have to stay here, that whole type of thing. And like I would leave there many evenings in tears. And what I think would make me choke up most is this particular facility we're talking about is sitting in the middle of a neighborhood. So, you know, when you see the movies on TV, the prisons is always out on a long dirt road somewhere, you know, where like nobody else in sight can even get Uber or catch a bus, right? Somebody got to come to get you as you in trouble. Mm-hmm. But that's not the case in this reality. That's not the case. It's sitting in the neighborhood. And so you turn a couple corners and you at a whole neighborhood of living, so to speak, going on.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking the only thing that would separate this particular location from the neighborhood is that fire and some trees. And we're not talking forest of trees. Just a few roll of trees.
Because if you sit on the one bench, you can see the road. You can see cars going past.
Yeah.
If you look over here to your left, you can see the project right here. When they barbecue, you can smell they barbecue. Oh, that's
And that's the kind of things that would touch my soul when I would leave, as I would be walking out in the evening, you know. But in the same token, looking forward to coming back the next time or the next day. Like I said, by the time I was about done there, I was there every single day. teaching a class. Mm-hmm. She had 2 and 3, 4 classes going on at a time. And I would have those meetings with staff like, what? I need to come down here and sit in your class because it has to be something going on. In 4 years, you ain't used a button. You
right.
know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not so much as an argument.
No. Aaron,
no.
People
not,
didn't like each other got along in that class.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And it mm-hmm. wasn't a Miss Don thing. I mean, some of it might have, as it went on, became a respect thing for me, yes. But I think
mm-hmm.
the biggest part of it is that what they were getting for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had plenty of the ladies that say, I come here just to go on to my little piece of me, or my little piece of sanity, you know,
mm-hmm.
so I can get to the next week two or a couple of days before you come back, you know. And so that meant a whole lot. That meant a whole lot to me. It meant a whole lot to me. I'm so just thankful that I got to share that space and time with you. And I'm so thankful that God allowed me to be at the finish line when you crossed it. And that's why it's amazing. That is why it's absolutely amazing right there. Because of being able to see God manifest a place where people are to be thrown away.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The disparity. Sometimes you can walk out on the yard and you can cut the disparity with a knife.
Yes.
It's sadness and heaviness. If anybody's ever dealt with any kind of depression in their life, and you know, it just feels so heavy, or like, you know, when you see a really bad thunderstorm coming and just feel heavy, you could just
mm-hmm.
walk on that yard sometime and you could take a knife and just cut it and serve it, because that's how thick it is
mm-hmm.
with the feeling, the spirit of disparity that could be over top of this place. And, you know, and then go into church. Go into church. I tell you. Go into the church. And then you're like, what? You forget that you're on that campus. You forget that you're on that campus.
We had
church
in there.
Hey, and when I went to ORW, time I preached at ORW, we're talking 200 plus women in that church service. And you just totally forget that I'm not standing in the sanctuary at one of the local churches. You just forget because the spirit of God is so high in place, and the own spirit of God that you just, you know, me and my cape, you know, we anytime they ask, me and my cape, we on our way. Me and my little reps. And it's because of that I get more filled. My cup overflow when I know that I have poured something into someone else, and even if it's just that's enough there to overflow. And that's you keep doing what God has purposed you to do with this story. It becomes a come on, Jesus, and whether it's the 4-series book, Lord, whatever it is that God has it. There's even a relief for you to move it.
Mm-hmm.
You just keep doing what you know to do right. Keep writing, as Ms. Don say. Keep writing.
Yes.
It's stupid stuff. You don't think it's gonna matter to nothing. You always in your head. Write it down. Write it down. Because our stories are not for us anyway. Our life purpose, our journey, us walking the earth is not for the satisfaction of us. It's the satisfaction of others. It's to be lived out loud for somebody else. And so I just so grateful. I'm a proud mama bird because it's just awesome to even laugh about some of the things, you know. We could go on and on, of course, about just the laughter.
Yeah.
In a place where there's often years, just to have a moment to just laugh.
Mm-hmm.
That's God for right there. today. I laughed out loud. I heard a lady one time laughed in probably 10 years. Like literally just gut-busting laugh. I have not laughed out loud.
Oh, wow.
I may have chuckled or giggled at something that sound funny in passing, but just to just crack up.
Mm-hmm.
You just your stomach because you're laughing so hard.
Right.
I have not laughed out loud, you know. And then, and I'm just going to put this in as we're closing, and just, you know, how time flies. I can't believe we're almost at the end of this segment, but I can remember, and Michelle and I was just talking about this the other day, I said, y'all need to write a cookbook, because me and my ignorance, okay, let's start there. I don't have a problem saying where my mindset is. I'm sitting there talking about, oh, we got to cook. I'm thinking, well, what y'all cooking? I mean, you know, you just
right.
Don't know. I've been on TV, okay? And so I'm like, what? When I tell you, ever is the bucket, it got a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
But these sisters come up with a meal like it's Thanksgiving, and I'll be sitting there going, well, you know what?
We can cook a whole Thanksgiving dinner with the microwave all the way from the dressing down to the pies to the macaroni and cheese, green beans, the greens, the
when
ham.
They say them women ain't, you say them women ain't resourceful. Talk about the women.
Whole meal in the microwave, baked toast and all.
And they're like, what? And because all we know is what we know. And if I'm
right.
not, as they say, been about that life, if you haven't been about that life, then you don't understand the survival techniques that it takes to survive that life. But
you'll
one thing we do know is
what
women.
Miracle Whip and Butter can do.
Miracle Whip and Butter.
Miracle Whip and Butter. You'll be amazed.
You see what I'm saying? The resourcefulness of a woman. That's what, and I liked our caller Z when you said strength.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't living strength if you're not in survival mode. So at some point, survival mode got to kick in, and that's when that strength show up. Like, okay, superwoman, mm-hmm. you go.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get some of that Miracle Whip and butter. And this is what we
said
to do.
Hey, bake a cake. Let's go. And a can
it.
Of pop.
And a can of what?
A can of pop.
You see what I'm saying?
Okay. Can of pop gonna make the cake rise.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know. See what I'm saying? And I'm sitting here about Medicare and being, you know, sold out with the toilet paper during the pandemic. You know, I can't. Who can get my cake? I can't get a box of Medicare. You know? I went to the dollar store. I'm at Kroger's. At Walmart. They taking the toilet paper and the box of Betty Crocker cakes. Who is doing that? Tell them to put a limit on the Betty Crocker.
I bet you them women in prison and run out of toilet paper because they know how to hoard some toilet paper.
Girl. Toilet paper and Betty Crocker.
Hey, they hoard toilet paper. Toilet paper is the best thing going in the prison.
Girl. I cannot. But you know what? It was an experience. Amen for the lessons learned for you through. And that's
yes.
what we always talk about, you know, in the class. Our favorite scripture is the 23rd Psalm. Yea, though I walk through it.
Mm-hmm.
I walk through it. It don't start with, yea, though I stay stick and stuck and sink. That ain't what it say.
No.
Yea, though I walk through it, I should fear no evil because he's with me. Just keep on walking. This has just been a blessing. This has been a
blessing. Yeah. I enjoy it.
I hope
it.
That everybody.
Story.
Yes. Thanks for calling in. And I thank you for the encouragement. Word that you are have deposited into Michelle today, and you know, because we all need a cheerleader. I don't care who you are.
We all
need a cheerleader, no matter what part of your life you're walking in. It always feels good when somebody saying job well done and keep on walking. You're doing all right. Yeah. May not feel all right all the time. You're doing better
right.
than what you feel. You're so doing
yes.
better than what
mm-hmm.
you feel. Yes. Love mm-hmm. it. It's been your girl just dazzling and diva by Design Radio. We've
yes.
had an awesome, awesome, awesome conversation with our special guest today, Michelle Robinson. And I tell you guys, if you didn't watch us live, you'll be hitting me up because you'll get it. It's always there. And so you'll be able to go back and sit with it and just figure out where is your cup and what needs to happen
right.
with it. And does that mean you need a timeout? Because the prison is not necessarily the four walls. She already told you it's the state of mind. It's a state of mind. It's a state of mind. You can be locked up in more people that's out here free, so to speak, that are imprisoned in their mind. And so they, you know, where God finds you is where it begins.
Amen.
You. So this has been awesome, awesome, awesome. Let me just real quick check. The babies are now grown with babies.
Yes, they are. I have four grandbabies. Well,
look at that.
I got six grandbabies. I got two to just say, you my grandma. Okay, fine.
Be your grandma.
The boys are doing good. My daughter, oh my God, that's my ride or die right there. I'm telling you, ladies, if you have a daughter, please, if y'all have any type of tension or anything between y'all, squash it. Because them girls, it's something special about girls
mm-hmm.
when it comes to their mothers. They will have their mm-hmm. mother's back. And she has had mine through the ups, the downs, the goods, the bad. She has been there.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. The boys, they was there as much as they could. They just couldn't process it the best way they could, but they did.
Mm-hmm.
And now that I'm home, I'm with all of them. I got custody of my 4-year-old back now. He's 18. He's getting
wow.
ready to graduate this year. Yes.
Wow.
I got custody
wow.
of him as soon as I came home.
Amen.
Yes.
Look at restoration.
The grandbabies are all great. The grandbabies think they run grandma life, which they do. I'm telling you, I'm soft when it comes to them. I am. Okay.
Them grandbabies.
I have found the love of my life.
Come on.
I met him in the grocery store, y'all. It's crazy. We met at the produce department. And he has been with me since I've been home. We thinking about marriage. We happy. I'm living life.
Come on.
Peacefully. Mm-hmm. Doing God's
yes,
work.
Should.
Want me to do.
Well, there
living
it is. There it is. So y'all heard it here. Let God lead and you will see the manifestation of him in your life. And there is going to be, so they say, that pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. Just keep on believing
yes.
in God. We will be back here next Sunday at 4 p.m. with another episode of Divas by Design Radio. This is your girl, just dazzling. I want to say thank you to Michelle Robinson, our special guest today, and our caller Z. And just chatting, girl talk, a little laughter, and we learned something. Got some nuggets dropped in the process. Allow God to fill your cup. Until we will see you on the other side. Love you and peace and blessings.
Thank you for joining us today. If you would like to be a guest or showcase your talents, events, and services, please contact us at 937-715-9015. That's 937-715-9015. Find us on Facebook and, of course, here every week on Blog Talk Radio. Production assistance for this show was sponsored by NGB Productions. Thank you for joining us today. If it is the Lord's will, we will be back next week with more from Divas by Design.